Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's good to see each and every one of you, always, and wonderful to have you that are visiting with us, and we thank you. And Lance, you did a great job reading that, and very loud and good, and I could even hear you, so it was really good. I wanted to tell everybody to remember that after we get through using the Lord's Supper that we have on hand, we're going to go back to the old way, and we will make our own bread and use our own grape juice. Well, I think Welch will help us with it. I wanted to say one of my favorite people is here. Sheila is here, and we've been together a long time, and then she played the Judas on us and moved, and... But I think a great deal of her, and I'm glad you're here, Sheila. And I'm sorry, Dion. I'm teasing. I want to talk today about the principles of prayer. And as we were in class today, I was thinking about the examples that we have around us when tragedies hit. And I know I'm not talking about that today, but I was thinking about what John said. And I've watched Bob as he went through terrible, terrible, terrible pain, and how faithful he has been and the attitude that he had with that pain. That's just the way it is. And he looked for something better in the future. And I felt sorry for Peggy because she said, there's nothing I can really do. And that's a hard place to be. And then I think of Ricky, that she has just been offered a great new job. She can't take it because of her health. And she's having to sell her house and move to Michigan. And she has such a good attitude about it. So I wanted you to think about the people around us that are going through a lot, and we appreciate them so much. Well... It's not going to work. So. Have you ever thought about the wars that are going on right now? Have you ever thought about the wars that are going on inside of people? Have you ever thought how people cannot get along at all? And why is that? Well, it's because we want our own way. We want people to do things our way. And our way is always the right way. So he says in James 4, 1 through 10, and I'm going to read this again. And it wasn't that Lance didn't read it well, but I want to read it again to really enforce it upon your minds. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war with you? Think about that little statement. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is of no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gave more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your neighbor be turned to mourning, laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. What a tremendous, tremendous group of passages. It tells us so much about ourselves and the times that we get awry with ourselves and with one another. One of the things that I can say in this congregation, we get along well, even in disagreement. We're not trying to be important, and we're trying rather to find the truth. But I have watched many congregations, and I have seen in this congregation before problems when they came and we had to deal with those problems. And so I want you to recognize that we are in prayer and there's certain principles that we need to follow. So we're talking about the principles of prayer because there are principles, and these principles are very valid. And we need to think about this whenever we get ready to pray. And I'm afraid many people do not pray the way that they should. In fact, many people have nothing more than a little child's prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, and so on, instead of really talking with God. We talked the last time that I preached about letting God talk with us, and today we need to be talking to God. And so it's time for us to speak, because as I said, when God speaks, we shut up. God does not work in prayer according to whim or fancy or impulsive change of mind. God is constant. He is there, and he's going to answer your prayer if you're praying right. If you're not praying right, he's not going to answer the prayer, and so therefore we need to learn how to pray right. I know, as we said one time about the little boy that was praying continually for a pony or praying for a bicycle, and he didn't get it. And anyway, we pray foolish prayers. So there are definite laws and rules and principles for getting our prayers answered. And those things are what we're talking about today. So I'm going to say to everybody, pay attention. Don't go to sleep on me. Because many times I have done that when I was praying. I would start praying, and then while I was praying, I would fall asleep. I try not to do that now. I try not to just lay down and pray. I try to sit at the side of my bed. I don't get on my knees anymore because it hurts too much, but sit on the side of my bed and spend the time that I can do a proper prayer. Jesus is not a theoretician, and he's not a philosopher. He is a very practical preacher, or James, I said. And he's talking to us about a very needful matter, and that is prayer. He wants us to pray, and God wants us to pray, and we need to spend the time in prayer. One of the things that we are having today that's a real problem is time. We do not have time for God. We do not have time for each other. We do not have time. And I miss the time. I remember we used to get together, and Zulema can really cook, and she used to cook for us. Well, that's been a long time. She's went through surgery. She's went through surgery, and I want to tell you something. She is doing well, and we thank God for that. And so I hope in all of the prayers that we prayed that I believe it was very beneficial for her, and it was certainly beneficial for every one of us. There are three things that stand out to me in these 10 verses as I look at them, so I want to go one by one by these things. The first is the unasked prayer of a struggling man. Here's a fellow that is wanting, always wanting, and he's not asking anything, he's just wanting. And how many people say, well, I wish I could have this. And everybody's wanting something all the time. And they're wondering why they don't get it. So James pictures a man who is struggling to get what he needs, but he fails to ask God. He says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So I try to fulfill all of my desires by doing that which is unlawful to get what I want. Or I don't ask God at all, and so I don't get anything. If you don't ask, you're not going to get. One of the things that God wants, he wants you to ask him. It's like when my kids were little, they used to sit there and I'd know what they were wanting. But I loved it when they come to me and ask, said, Daddy, can we get this? So here we are, we're to pray. And I want to say this before we really start, that prayer is not so much the benefit of changing God's mind. Prayer is to change us. Put that in your mind. So we have lusting, we have scheming, we have warring, we have fighting, we have killing, and trying to get what we want. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what goes on around us all the time. All you have to do is look out around you, and you're going to see these things are happening. And sometimes it's a shock we find out that brethren even get involved in these things. But I want you to recognize these things are taking away because there's a lust in our heart and we're scheming and doing all these things, trying to get what we want, and we're not going through the proper channels at all. Wrong motives are always going to get wrong results. If your motive is wrong, I will guarantee you that the finality is going to be wrong. And therefore, we need to make sure that my motive is being prompted out of love, number one, for God, and number two, for those that I'm praying for, and number three, for me. We are to pray in such a way that we can fulfill all of these things. Look around at the results of leaving God out. Think about when you look around you and what you see. Do you see the world living in peace? Do you see the world as they are trying to get better and better, and as they're trying to form a world government, which is going to only make things worse and worse? So the farther we go, the worse it gets. And man says, what's wrong? We ought to be progressing, and we're digressing. Why? Well, the motives are wrong, and we're leaving God out. So we must use all of the strength within us. I heard about a little boy one time that was trying to lift a big rock. And as he was trying to lift that big rock, his dad was standing over there and looking at him. And he said, son, are you using all the strength that's available to you? And he said, yes, Dad, I am. I'm using all the strength I have. He said, son, are you using all the strength that you have? And he says, yes, Dad, I'm using all the strength I have. And the dad said, no, you're not, son. You've got me. Get it? Get it? If we're trying it alone, we're going to fail. If we're using all the strength that we have and the strength that we have God, don't we, Zulema? So if we have God, and I guarantee you that family prayed a lot when she was going through what she went through. And so we have the strength that is available to us. Have individuals or a nation at war, and they're wondering why. What causes these wars? Well, God tells us. All of these things, you've got the wrong motive, and that's what's causing the problem. Did you know that not only are you missing a blessing when you don't pray, but you're sinning against God? Put that, as my mother used to say, in your pipe and smoke it. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, because when you do not pray, you are sinning against God. And sin, I don't think people realize just how bad sin is. We need to look at sin from the viewpoint of Christ hanging upon a cross. And God's saying, this is how much I hate sin. I'm allowing my son to die upon the cross because I hate sin so badly. You see, prayerlessness is more than weakness. It's wickedness. It's a wicked person that does not pray. And I don't think many times people in the church realize just how wicked they are. And you can find out how wicked you are by not praying. If you don't pray, and if you don't pray sincerely, and if you're not in love with the brethren, and if you're not in love with God, you've got a wicked, wicked heart going on. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, it says, moreover, as for me, and this is Israel sinning, and as for me, be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. And I will instruct you in good and the right way. What was he doing? Israel's sinning. Israel's going wrong. And here he says to Samuel, I have to pray for you. I have to pray for you. And if I don't, I'm sinning. So here we are, and we've got problems. I don't know whether you know it or not, but we've got a lot of problems going on in this congregation. Not with the congregation, but a lot of people are in pain. A lot of people are suffering. A lot of people are having issues in their head and so on. And maybe everybody doesn't know about that, but I'll guarantee you that it's going on. And you need to be praying about all the brethren in here. Aren't you thankful for these new members? Don't you pray every day for the? Oh, wow. There's Peggy and there's Bob. Oh, well, never mind Bob. But Marissa, it's good to see you. You've been gone too long. Think about that. The greatest thrill I have is the classes that I have with the new members. By the way, we're studying with Priscilla's mother, and she can't speak English. So we've got a translator going. I'm not sure what she's saying to her mother, but anyway, we have a class going on. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. And praying without ceasing means that you continue to pray every day. We read in Daniel not very long ago that he prayed three times a day, and that was a sincere prayer, and I'm sure he had other prayers. But those three times a day, he opened his windows and he would pray to God. It is a sin, then, not to pray. In Luke 18:1, he says, and he told a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart. I hear so many people as they come to me and they say, you know what, I pray, but I don't get my prayers answered. Right? A lot of people have that. I pray, but I don't get my prayers answered. And I'd like to talk a little bit about why that is. John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress said, prayer will make a man cease from sin, but sin will make a man cease from prayer. And I thought that was a pretty good quote. And I wanted to share that quote with you so that you can put that in your head. There's no vile or hideous sin in my life or in your life or in anybody's life that proper prayer would not have prevented. Now you think about that. If the nation was praying, if everybody was praying in the right way, our problems would pretty well be solved. So Jesus said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what I'm talking about when I say many times I sit down to pray or lay down to pray and go to sleep. And here Jesus, in his most critical moment, his disciples are asleep. And he finally tells them, well, just sleep on because the time's come. The reason that we enter into temptation so easily, and the reason that we become the dirty plaything of a dirtier devil, is that we have failed to pray and put on the whole armor of God. So how do you put on the whole armor of God? Well, you just put it on. You know how you put your clothes on every day? That's the way you put on the whole armor of God. You get up and you start, and you don't put your shoes on first. You know, you start getting dressed, and there's a certain order in which you put it on, and you get sure, make sure that you're ready to go out into battle. And we are going out into battle, and if you're not going out into battle, then you're not in the Christian faith. If you're in the Christian faith, there is a battle that's going on. If you don't ask, you will receive wars and trouble. I will guarantee you. Whenever you leave God, somehow or another, trouble comes to you that way you don't want. Now, we have problems coming at us as Christians, but it's different because it does not upset us, and we're not trying to gain anything except to show forth what Christ is like living in you. So we see here the unmasked prayer of a struggling man. A man that just does not listen to God, does not want to talk to God, and he's not going to get anything except that which is wrong. He may get a lot, but not in the right way. Then there's the unanswered prayer of a selfish man. And that selfish man, do you realize that there are people who pray, and it doesn't get any higher than the light bulb? It's just there. And we say all these words, and we go through these things rigorously every day, and I don't want to go to sleep without saying some kind of a prayer, but I don't really am not really asking God or talking to God about anything. I just want to get the prayer through so I can get to sleep. Many people like that, and that's a tragedy. In James 4, 3 through 4, he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Can you imagine being the enemy of God? Do you think the enemies of God are going to get their prayers answered? And I'm going to tell you, God may answer, but what that answer may be may not be what you like at all. It may be an absolute tragedy that you lose your soul because of the answer given. If you don't love the truth, God will send a strong delusionment. So how are we enemies of God when we become a friend of the world? When the Bible uses the word world, it means an ungodly system that is set against the Lord and his Christ. I recognize that we ask people, preachers, to preach on friendship with the world and all that. And what they mean is, I want you to preach on everything that we think is wrong. And whether it's smoking, drinking, or whatever, that's what they want you to preach on. Anything that I don't do. My grandmother was a great Pentecostal lady, and she spent a lot of time in prayer. And the one thing she prayed for all the time was those people that smoked cigarettes while she dipped her snuff. So, our prayers ought to be in the right way. Now, notice that James says that friendship with the world is adultery. Now, that's one of the worst sins that we can commit, is adultery. That means that you're unfaithful. Unfaithful, unfaithful. Oh, I wanted to say while I'm here, real quickly, that next weekend I will be gone. I'm leaving next Friday morning, and I won't return until Tuesday. And so I'm going to ask Don to go through Patrick And Patrick's going to tell everybody what they're going to do next week. You're going to write to everybody and tell them what they're going to do, because you won't have a bulletin next week. I'm leaving before I'm put out a bulletin. And I'm going to a wedding anniversary, and they've asked me to say a little bit, and that reminded me of something, and I'll just share it with you real quickly. A couple had been married almost 50 years, as the couple that I'm going to go talk with. And they were sitting on a swing porch out on the front, swinging back and forth. And the woman looked at her husband and said, "Henry, do you remember 47 years ago?" He said, "I sure do." She said, "Henry, do you remember how you held my hand?" He put his hand over on hers and said, "I sure do." She said, "Henry, do you remember how you put your arm around me?" She said, "I sure do." And he put his arm around her. She said, "Henry, do you remember how you nibbled on my ear?" Boy, he jumped up. She said, "Where are you going, Henry?" He said, "Get my teeth." So I'll be gone next weekend. Jesus Christ is the heavenly groom. And if he's the heavenly groom, I do not want to commit adultery against him. The church is the bride of Christ. And so we are married to Christ, which caused a spousal, and that means that I am the bride of Christ. We just have not moved into permanent residence with each other. And because we are married to him, it ought to be in our mind that I want to be faithful to him above everything else in this world. Because he is faithful to me, and I know that he's faithful to me. The world is like a harlot that would steal away our love from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we flirt with the world, when we run with the world, when ambitions and ideals and desires of the world find a lodging place in our hearts, we set ourselves at warfare with God. Things are not going to go well for you if you do that. You are at war with God, and guess who's going to win the war? It will not be you. Like an unfaithful wife coming to her husband and says, "You know what, I'm unfaithful to you. Can you give me the keys to the car and a lot of money to go shopping?" That's the way that we are with God. We come to him, we're unfaithful, and we say, "I want all of this, God. I want you to give me all this. Am I faithful to you?" "No, not really. I don't do everything you want me to, and I certainly love the world a lot, but I want you to give me all of these blessings." Not only will God not hear, he will oppose you. If we get that in our mind, we've got a lot out of the lesson. I want you to think about this as you pray to God. And this starts in childhood. Many think that God is a glorified bellhop, a Santa Claus of some kind, who's supposed to give them everything they want, and simply because they ask for it, and yet they do not love him at all. How many times are our spoiled children just like that? And we are like our spoiled children. We want it all, but we don't want to give you anything, and we don't want to give anybody else anything. And then there's the unhindered prayer of a spiritual man. Five essentials. Let God control your spirit. That's number one. Let God control your spirit. How do you do that? Well, it's by getting all the junk out of your head. It says in James 4:5, or do you suppose that it is nothing that the scripture says, God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? In other words, you have a spirit. God wants that spirit, and God wants that spirit to serve him. The spirit which he made to dwell in us jealously yearns for the devotion of your heart. We can use this in two ways. Number one, he wants our spirit, but also the Holy Spirit is going to direct us in what we want. In Ephesians 6:18, he says, praying all the times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. So our spirit must be guided by the Spirit, and we pray that the Holy Spirit be directed by the Spirit through the Son to the Father. Did that make sense? If that makes sense, then that's the way to pray. There must be submission to the Father. Now, if you don't submit to the Father, and how do we know what the Father wants? Well, Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us what the Father wants. And when it all comes down to it, we're submitting to the Father through the Son, and we are in a fellowship with them. In James 4, 6, and 7, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you put the devil on the run? Well, no. Did you get that? No. You know, I smoked for many years, and I quit thousands of times. But one day I said no, and I quit. So, how do you say no to the devil? How do you say no to anything? You just say no. That's hard. No. Have you ever noticed? No. If you do that again, when they say no, he knows that they mean no, right? Wow. That works so well. That works so well. Everybody says, well, you know, that's funny. It's not funny when you see a kid disobey. It's not funny when you see somebody saying, I'm going to do what I want no matter what you say. Learn to say no and mean no. This world got into a problem to begin with when in the Garden of Eden, the first man, Adam, said, not thy will, but thine be done. The second Adam said in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. And I realize I'm running out of time. He's the example for us all. He said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I've heard people say, you know what, we ought to not pray that prayer because the kingdom of heaven has already come. Well, the kingdom of heaven hasn't come in a lot of people, and we pray that the kingdom of heaven will hit them like a bolt of lightning. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. How do we find out what the will of God is? I think we need to turn in the scriptures and find out what he tells us to pray for. And it's not for a pony. It's not for a bicycle. It's to pray because the needs are great. So many of us are wanting God just to rubber stamp our own ambitions, our own desires, and own tendency, our own ways. We don't wait for the Lord, but we don't seek the Lord. We don't let God's word abide in us, and we don't abide in him. And I'm moving fairly fast to get you out of here in time. We just keep marching into his presence with a shopping list and wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. God, I got this. Now, I want you to answer it. We must pray in the will of God. We must surrender him. You have to be standing against the devil before your prayers are going to be heard. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil attacks when you pray. Now watch this. Have you ever endeavored to pray and you enter into the closet and you hear, he touched me. Stay on your own side. And you're trying to focus, and finally you say, kids, shut up, I'm trying to pray. He touched me again. It's just over and over and over and over that they're going to fight. You get to pray and the telephone rings. It's like Zoom meeting. About the time you're getting ready, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, here it comes. You're right in the middle of everything. Instead of getting there on time, they can't get there on time. They get there after it starts, so we got to have the ding dong, right? Or when I start praying, I just remembered, oh, the beans are on. I forgot the beans. They're on and they're burning. All of these things seem to come up when you're praying. Do you ever think of silly things when you pray? Just silly things come to your mind, which are foolish things, and I have to admit they do sometimes. And I want to get those silly things out of my head. Prayer's not silly. Your mind goes wondering about what you need to do, got to cut the grass, and poor Patrick, I think he hurt himself cutting the grass, didn't you? That's what it was. And so it's up to Belinda now to cut the grass, not him. You have to go shopping or something. You're talking on one level and thinking on another level. That is a problem in prayer. And I know that all of you have experienced it. You're thinking about something else. That is the enemy. That's the devil working. And we have to learn to say, I'm not going to go that way. So the devil can do that. Or you read there in the parable of the sower, and Jesus said, the devil is like birds that come and steal the seed away. Now, when I'm preaching, these devil birds are flying right now. They're trying to take your mind away. The roast is on. We're going to go eat. I want you to hear what I'm saying, because we're going to finish it in 3 minutes. I'm not like Patrick. He preached over. I mean, he went... Oh, it was terrible. He sees you sitting there, and that devil bird goes in there and picks that thought out of your mind. Pew! You know, I tried this one time in Arkansas. A man came and he preached to a great lesson. I mean, he was really a dynamic speaker. In fact, it was Brother D. Bowman that preached it. And afterwards, as I stood at the back door, I said, this woman came to me and she says, wasn't that a great lesson? And I said, what did he preach about? We just finished. She didn't know, but it was a great lesson. And I think we have a lot of great lessons. What was it about? I have no idea, but boy, it was good. It was delivered well, all of that. He doesn't want, the devil wouldn't want you to hear what he's saying. Well, my time is up, so I won't go any further. But I'm not like Patrick. I'm going to end the sermon. So you'll appreciate me more than you do Patrick. And I do want you to love me more than you love him. To be honest with you, I love hearing Patrick preach. He is a joy to the congregation. He's a joy to every member. He's a little conceited, but brethren, do you realize how much many blessings we have? And we have each other. So pray for me. As Dion says, pray for everybody here in the congregation. And even though she's not here as a member anymore, pray for Sheila. Love you. And God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, why don't you believe that Jesus Christ was sent here to die for you? Just make it personal. He died for you upon the cross of Calvary, and God loves you that much. And that you believe in him with all of your heart, and that you're willing to let him take and direct you in life instead of you directing your own self. And be baptized after you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins as you receive the blood of Christ to cleanse you. Won't you come?